Voting is a central pillar of our democracy. It is the very, one of the things that holds up our democracy, the great American experiment of broad participatory democracy and representative democracy. Your vote is your voice, right? And if you can't vote, then you've lost your voice.
That's Massachusetts State Senator Becca Rausch, who you'll be hearing more of in episode one. Senator Rausch understands there are too many people living in the U.S. who face difficulties when trying to participate in the voting process. America the voiceless. Star, I am Maria Elena Perez.
And I am Nikki Rojas. This is America the Voiceless, a Latina-hosted podcast that looks into the barriers many Americans have to overcome to make sure their voices are heard during the voting process. It's election season. Democrats and Republicans are at it again, trying to get everyone to vote them into power. And everyday Americans are just hoping to exercise their constitutional right to vote, to make their voices heard. Do you remember the first time you voted, Maria?
Yeah, I do. It's not the most exciting story. It was 2012, and I was a sophomore in college, and I was just starting to get involved in learning about politics and fitting into my role as a student journalist. At the time, I knew I was going to vote for Obama because both of my parents are liberal, and after doing some research, Mitt Romney was just giving me a lot of bad vibes. I was 2 hours away from my local polling station, so I requested an absentee ballot right before I left for college, and my dad drove up to bring it to me so I could fill it out and mail it out. I remember pressuring a lot of my friends and my ex-boyfriend at the time to vote. My parents did a really good job at reminding me how important it was to cast my vote and for my voice to be heard. We had silly school elections back in high school, but I never really gave a shit about those elections. I think the idea of having a say in our next president was just something I really wanted to be a part of. On the night of the election, my friends, my ex-boyfriend, and I gathered in my room with our homework and pizza, and we watched CNN, and the live results popped up onto the screen. And after getting the results, my friends all retreated back to their dorm rooms, but my ex-boyfriend and I stuck around to listen to Obama's victory speech. It just made me feel really good to be part of such a historical moment.
I want to thank every American who participated in this election. Whether you voted for the very first time or waited in line for a very long time. By the way, we have to fix that. Whether you pounded the pavement or picked up the phone. Whether you held an Obama sign or a Romney sign, you made your voice heard, and you made a difference.
You know, I remember the excitement I felt when I was hearing that speech. But listening to it again 8 years later, after he acknowledged the long lines at the polls and how he wanted to fix that, feels like such a punch to the stomach. We've had these problems 8 years ago, longer than that. And here we are in 2020 with the same issues. I know your voting experience is completely different from mine, Nikki, because you're not an American citizen, even though you've lived in the U.S. your entire life. Tell me more about that.
You're right. So I've lived in the U.S. for 30 years, and I've never once voted in an election outside of school. I moved from Chile when I was just 10 months old and became a permanent resident shortly afterwards. Honestly, becoming a citizen really never crossed my mind until college. Before then, it was something my parents worried about, but I didn't give it a second thought. My parents eventually became U.S. citizens, and I've considered it, but life always gets in the way. and becoming a U.S. citizen is just really expensive. It's funny because as a student journalist, I covered local elections and even got to witness Obama's first presidential campaign. Once I graduated, I covered his re-election campaign, and it somehow felt like it was okay that I couldn't vote, because I would be okay. Obama would keep me and other immigrants safe. But then 2016 came, and boy, did shit hit the fan.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
I remember being so mad hearing Trump announce his campaign. I'd never liked Republicans, but people like McCain or Romney never felt threatening to me. Trump made me feel unwanted and awful for being a Latina immigrant. Like all of my hard work, all of the hard work of my parents just wasn't worth it. I was pissed I couldn't vote. I pushed my parents to vote for Hillary and was shocked when she lost. It was even more disappointing when I went to go cover Trump's inauguration in D.C. and one of his supporters yelled fake news at me. And I knew then that we were in for 4 years of pure awfulness. I just didn't know how bad it was going to get. It's been 3.5 years since then, and I feel like I can't be surprised anymore about how Trump and Republicans actively suppress voters' rights. But they always find a way. And honestly, I don't know if Democrats are much better. That's certainly how new Georgia Project Director Nse Ufot, who we spoke to for this podcast, felt.
The party that I'm aware of is doing a great job at defending democracy.
Watching from the sidelines while Trump won the election must have been so tough. I used all of the pent-up anger I had from Trump's racist and bigoted comments he made prior to the election and was fortunate enough to cast my vote for Hillary. After he won, I was shocked, angry, and felt hopeless, like a lot of other people. But I can't imagine what it would be like to not be able to vote, even though there are so many people living in America who should have the right to. We're taught from an early age that voting is important and is something that we should participate in once we turn 18. It's supposed to give us a voice, but what about the people who can't vote or can't access their voting rights? This is why it was so important for us to put this podcast together. We want to hear from these folks.
For 12 episodes, we'll be speaking to politicians, activists, historians, and everyday people about the hurdles Americans and others living in the U.S. face during the elections. You can listen to our very first episode on August 20th on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.